Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now?
How do you build America's Good. Largest wireless network?
Can you hear me now?
Good. By never being satisfied.
Can you hear me now? Good.
Until no matter where you go.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Your call goes through.
Can you hear me now? Good.
Verizon Wireless. We never stop working for you.
Can you hear me now? But you can't hear or can't receive a phone call if you're a Verizon customer in this church building. In 2020, that was about 19 years after that commercial was made. Anybody remember that commercial? No? Well, one person. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Not everybody's old enough to remember that. I still have a hard time getting a good cell signal sometimes around. How about you? And we can hear, I can hear that you're talking, but I can't understand you. Yes, I can hear you, but I can't understand you, right? And we say those types of things. But do you know the first person to use that phrase? It was Jesus. Luke 8:8. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Not exactly the same. I mean, Verizon had to change it a little bit. Can you hear Jesus? Do you understand God's word? Jesus' signal is clear, but are you listening?
Hey, you got me in that bus, something in your ear?
You got peanut butter stuck in your ears? That's a little CB slang, right, from the 70s? Anyway, in Luke chapter 8, Luke continues this theme of listening. Last week, we discussed what it meant to be a child of wisdom. Jesus played the flute and the people didn't listen. And Luke then gave us an example of the sinful woman who had listened and responded correctly to Jesus' words and lived in wisdom. Today, we're going to see more examples in another parable about hearing Jesus' word, receiving his word, and practicing his word. In today's passage, we're going to see three areas where Jesus focused on listening. Luke 8:8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then in verse 18, therefore consider carefully how you listen. And then in verse 21, those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Those are kind of the three themes, the three areas that we're going to hit today. You have ears, but can you hear? How's your hearing? How many people have hearing aids? And nobody wants to admit that because everybody, oh, okay, we've got a few people not okay, willing to admit that. But the older we get, the worse our hearing is. Yeah, Seth will come home when he frequently does, or unfrequently comes home, and he'll be sitting and watching TV, and I'll sit down to watch TV with him. And I can't hear a thing. I was like, why you got the TV on if you can't hear it? I say, man, can you turn it up a little bit? And he looks at me like, man, now it's blasting out. Any young people sit there on TV with your parents? And, I mean, you can't hear anything. The older we get, the worse our hearing gets. As I was thinking, Vicki and I had some conversations this weekend, and you know what the most common word heard in the Webster household is now? What? One conversation, I think we said it three times back and forth. What? What'd you say? I couldn't hear you. And we're in the same room. We have ears, but we don't always understand. I know she's talking, but that doesn't mean I understand her and can really hear what she's saying. So the question is, are you listening? Have you ever said, I hear you, but you weren't really listening? I hear what you say. Now, your smartphone's listening to you. Ever talk? I mean, we'll have a conversation, and then Vicky's phone starts popping up ads about the topic that we talked about. That's a little scary, huh? I've tried to do what I can to set the limits, and so that won't happen. But hey, we signed the end user agreement, and that's part of it. I should have or could have named my title of my sermon, Listen as Well as Your Smartphone. Because your smartphone listens well. How do we listen? Are we listening well? Do you hear and are you listening? And understand, those aren't the same things, right? You hear what somebody says without understanding. You can hear what someone says. You can even understand what they say, but then not put it into practice. So are you putting into practice what you hear and what you understand? Really, like last week, are you proving you are a child of wisdom? So let's see what Luke tells us about listening today in Luke chapter 8. Because Jesus says, can you hear me now? Luke names three women who heard Jesus, understood Jesus, and put his words into practice. They're in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and disease. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Many women. Luke focuses on women in Jesus' ministry. He focuses on the outcast in Jesus' ministry. He really wants to show Jesus reaching out to everyone. Jesus loved everyone, rich and poor, accepted an outcast, men and women. And Luke here specifically names three women. We know most about Mary Magdalene. She was healed. She traveled with Jesus. She was at the crucifixion. She was at the tomb. And Mary was the first person that Jesus spoke to after the resurrection. Susanna and the other women, we know nothing about. But Luke gives us some interesting information about Joanna. Now, Joanna was also at the empty tomb. We know that from Luke 24. But we also know that Joanna was the wife of Cusa. Well, who's Cusa? Luke tells us. He is Herod's manager. Which means, if you remember what we talked about with John the Baptist not losing his head, while John the Baptist is in prison, possibly Cusa is the one who managed and threw the party that Herod had when John was beheaded. It's possible. So she would have had a firsthand account, or from her husband, a firsthand account of what really took place at that party. Just interesting potential information. So all these women were devoted. They were devoted followers of Jesus. And because of their devotion, what did they do? They help support the ministry with their own finances. Now, most scholars will say, well, these women, you can tell that these women were wealthy, and that's why they were able to support Jesus' ministry. Well, they didn't have to be wealthy to support his ministry. Maybe they were like the poor widow, and they gave everything they had because they were devoted. They gave. They supported. Jesus says, can you hear me now? And these women heard, they understood, and they put into practice Jesus' words. How about us? Do we hear? Do we understand? Are we putting into practice? Are we following the example of these three women? Are we following Jesus? Are we supporting Jesus' ministry out of our finances? We don't have to be wealthy, although we are. Are you giving generously? Giving generously to the local congregation, to missions, to other individual gifts. Remember what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this, Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously, for God loves a cheerful giver. How are you sowing? Are you hearing the word of Jesus? Are you understanding it? And are you following? Are you putting it into practice? And part of that is supporting the ministry of Jesus. Are you being a cheerful giver, giving generously with that? The second part of Luke chapter 8, we see that Jesus tells another parable about soil. And Jesus is saying again, can you hear me now? And Jesus tells the parable of four types of soil. Now, it's interesting, Tim and I did not coordinate that, but the Holy Spirit did with his meditation, talking about the people understanding the agriculture of the day and about sowing. You know, as Jesus begins to tell this parable, he may have looked across the field or across the hill and pointed out the farmer who was out sowing the seed. I mean, people knew about seeds. They knew about the different types of soil. I mean, there's really good soil in Israel and the plains and in the valleys. But on the hills, they'd have to terrace farm. They'd have to cut out and then build a wall and then cut out and build a wall. And sometimes that got rocky. And so depending on the type of soil where they were planting, of what kind of growth they were gonna get. The other thing, it's about this time of the year, in October, that the first rains come. So the farmers are able to then to be able to plow their fields, and then they sow their seed. And as I was reading and researching, it's interesting. I mean, typically, I mean, if we garden, you know, we'll dig a trench, we'll put the seed in, then we'll cover it up. But my understanding is they scattered the seed, and then they plowed the seed into the soil. They may have plowed before, then they sowed the seed, and then they plowed again, and that's how they buried the seed. And so all that happened around the October time after the first rains, and then they would hoe until the main rains in January and wait till the spring rains in March, so then they would be able to have a harvest in May. That was just a little chart I put up there, if you can read it or see it. So the people knew about farming, but even the disciples didn't understand the meaning of this parable of the sower, is what we always call it. It's more the parable of the soils. So Jesus answers the disciples' questions when they say, well, what does this mean? We don't understand. And so as we read through Jesus' explanation, listen and see, what kind of soil are you? So in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and when the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed fell among thorns, and stands for those who hear, but they go on their way and they're choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and persevering produce a crop. One type of soil didn't even hear. Two soils heard and understood but didn't put the words into practice. And it was the fourth soil that understood and practiced Jesus' words. I mean, Jesus is talking to the people. Jesus is talking to us saying, what kind of soil are you? Are you receiving the word? Now, we may hear today, but do we understand? Do we put it in to practice? And hopefully you're not here today with a hard heart. Hopefully you hear the words. You're willing to take time to understand the words and to put them into practice. But some who have a hard heart just kind of hear, like, they hear Jesus and it sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. Just kind of a hard heart. You hear Jesus making noise, but you don't understand, and you don't try to figure out what he's saying and understand. We need to cultivate our hearts so that we're ready to receive God's word. And so how do we do that? One simple thing to cultivate our heart is to simply pray before you start reading your Bible, which means you read your Bible. You have to hear God's word, but pray that your heart is open to whatever God has to say. And then we need to feed our heart the proper nutrients so God's word will grow and be fruitful in our lives. Well, how do we do that? I think the nutrients of our Christian faith have to be around being around fellow believers and to encourage one another and to help us stay focused. When we follow those simple steps, we will remain faithful to Jesus and be able to mature. Because our heart is open and we've had a cultivated heart and it's receptive and it's encouraged and it's getting fed with what it needs. So which soil are you today? Do you have a hard heart like the Pharisees? You want to argue and debate like the presidential candidates? Anybody watch that debate? You know, you can talk over Jesus if you want to, like the presidential candidates did, and talk over one another and you can't hear anything. And that's kind of like the Pharisees. The Pharisees didn't want to hear anything that Jesus had to say. They just wanted to debate and argue with him and say, well, you're not right and you're wrong and you're a blasphemer. Or do you have a fickle heart, kind of like Simon the sorcerer? You're happy to receive the good that Jesus gives, but you have no root when it becomes difficult. Maybe you have a distracted heart, like Ananias and Sapphira, or Judas, or Demas. You get sidetracked by life. Life is hard. We know that. We all have many concerns. You have a family to raise. You have a demanding boss. You have a retirement to prepare for. You have a bucket list to fulfill. And you don't take time to mature because, well, you're just too busy. I don't have time to sit and read my Bible. I don't have time to come to worship and to Bible study. And I don't have time to worship and study my Bible on my own. Jim, you just don't know how busy I am. Well, I think we all have the same amount of time. We prioritize, we make time for what's important to us. What kind of heart do you have? Do you have a distracted heart? Gets choked out by so many potentially good things, but it still chokes us out from not being able to mature and grow. Or hopefully, the majority of us here have a good and noble heart, like the apostles, like Cornelius, like Timothy. You take time to mature and grow in Jesus. You hear and understand, and you remain faithful. You remain faithful through the persecution and the trials. You keep your eyes focused on Jesus, and you grow. You don't let other things or other people distract you from keeping your focus on heaven and the cares of this world. You don't let any of that distract you. Now, when we talk about the parable of the sower, I think we normally think about the producing of the crop. as evangelism. And I think that's true, but I don't think that's Jesus' main focus here. On which type of soil are you producing? It's if, are you growing? Are you maturing in Christ? Are you listening? Are you understanding? Are you putting into practice the words of Jesus? Now, obviously, evangelism is part of that. But if you're not growing in Jesus, maturing in Jesus, you're not going to evangelize. And if you're evangelizing, most likely, hopefully, you're maturing in Christ. So like I asked a few weeks ago, do you need a heart transplant? You need to get rid of your hard heart? Or you need to get rid of your fickle heart? Or you need to get rid of your distracted heart? So that you can have a good and noble heart. That's what Jesus says. When you have a good and noble heart, you'll bear much fruit. You'll produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What are you producing? If you've said, hey, I'm the good soil, I have a good and noble heart, are you producing? Are you growing in your maturity? And are you sharing that with others? Are you finding opportunities to share? Now, what is interesting, Jesus concludes this parable with kind of another illustration there in Luke chapter 8, verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. We sing, "This little light of mine," and we take that application from Matthew. But Jesus, it's interesting, Jesus uses the same illustration of a light on a stand and applies it two different ways. In Matthew, it is, we are the light. But here in Luke, Jesus is the light. And Jesus says, I set my light on the stand. I'm not going to cover it up. My light is on the stand. My truth is on the stand. Hear me and take careful, or therefore consider carefully how you listen. I like that phrase. Consider carefully how you listen. Are you listening carefully to the words of Jesus? Oh, I hear what he says. I heard what he said. And we say that to each other. Oh, I hear you. You didn't hear him. We don't hear one another sometimes. And if we're not careful and listen carefully, we don't hear Jesus and what Jesus wants us to do. And how Jesus wants us to practice his words. So listen carefully. Because Jesus says, can you hear me now? And your life is going to prove whether you are or aren't. Now the final part of this passage here in Luke is that Jesus gives us, or in Luke records for us, one more glimpse into what Jesus' view of listening is. And so he says, can you hear me now? Hearing Jesus is more than knowing his words. Hearing Jesus is more than knowing him, even if you're his immediate family. Hearing Jesus is putting his words into practice. And so in Luke chapter 8, verse 19, it says, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Mark gives us more insight to why Jesus' family showed up to want to talk to him anyway. Mark tells us in chapter 3, verse 21, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. I mean, we know that Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him until after the resurrection. Maybe Mary was doubting, and they, I mean, all this commotion, and they thought, well, we better go take charge of him. He's crazy. And so that's who comes to say, and they say, oh, hey, your mother and brothers are here. And Jesus says, my mother and brothers are those who hear and put into practice my words. Are you Jesus' family? Are you his mother and brothers? Are you putting his words into practice? Jesus' family are those who hear and practice his words. Now, you may know his words, but if you don't understand them, or if you're not putting them into practice, we're not really his followers. We're not really his family. Our allegiance has to come first to Jesus. And our practice, the way we live, has to be priority of how we live out our life. When we hear Jesus, we must believe who he is, because he is the Messiah. He is God with us. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Lord of all. We must bow down and worship him. Where else are we going to go? He has the words of life. And we know that, and that's why we're here. And we follow that to some degree. That's why we're here. But have you totally sold out? Are you truly practicing everything you know and understand? Now, we don't know everything, and we don't understand everything. But are you practicing what you do know and what you do understand? Or are we just going through the motions? We know enough, and it's easy enough to understand, but it's hard to put into practice. And that's going to continue to take us a lifetime to accomplish. But put into practice what you know. Today we learned that we need to listen and understand. Take time to read God's word. You have plenty of opportunities to study here with your fellow believers here at Oak Forest. You have plenty of time at home. Turn off the TV. Set down your smartphone. Take some time to pray and to read. Now, last week, we learned to live a life of wisdom. So apply that. Live by a few simple questions that I continue to repeat through this series of Luke. What would love do? What would mercy do? What would generosity do? What would forgiveness do? Just live that way. Ask those questions and live that way. Put that into practice. Now, Jesus told us what the greatest commandment was in Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's simple, right? We know and understand enough. So are you loving God with your life? We can always love God more, be more dedicated, more faithful, more devout to him. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Are we loving one another? Are you loving others like you want to be loved? Are you giving, showing mercy, showing kindness, loving your neighbor? It's that simple. And it's that difficult. And Jesus says, can you hear me now? Which means not just that you hear the words, but that you understand the words and that you're putting his words into practice. Jesus wants you to understand how much he loves you. He left heaven and he came to earth and he died on a cross. He suffered because he loves you. He suffered because he wants to spend eternity with you. And if we're going to spend an eternity with him, we need to build our life on him, on his rock. And we talked about this several weeks ago. We looked at this passage in Luke, Luke chapter 6, verse 47. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. So this is what we're going to look like. If we hear his words and put them into practice, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. So we're a house planted on the rock, or we're a seed planted in the good soil. Whatever illustration you want to see. But the end result is growth or stability, and the troubles and the rain aren't going to knock us down. The rocks are not going to get in the way so our roots can go deep. The cares of this world and the thorns of this world and the desire of pleasure of this world isn't going to choke us out because we're built deep on the rock of Jesus. And we're putting into practice his words so that we can stand. And not only stand now, but we stand for all eternity in the presence of Jesus. But if we're not practicing his words now, we won't be able to stand for all eternity in his presence. So we need to make that decision now. What are we going to do? Will you listen and will you follow? Will you admit that you're a sinner? Will you admit that you have sinned and you need forgiven? Will you take steps to surrender your life and to find that forgiveness? Will you build your life on the solid rock of Jesus? Every day, and especially on Sunday, we have the opportunity to come and to be immersed into Jesus so those sins are gone. So we can, those are the first steps of hearing the words of Jesus and putting into practice what he has said. So if you need to do that, if you need to find forgiveness today, please talk with us so that you can be immersed into Jesus and your sins will be gone. But if you're already a Christian, you need to continue to listen and to hear and to put into practice what you know. Don't make excuses. Let's just say, I'm going to practice what Jesus has said. It's difficult. It's going to take some determination. It's going to take some hard work. But we know that it is worth it. And so let's put it into practice today. Let's pray.